Hello and welcome, big thinkers, to Life with Innovation. I am your host, Daniel. In today's podcast, we are going to talk about moon mining. This is a topic that has been in the shadows of government superpowers, and we are going to expose those secrets today. Thank you for stopping by. If you want to support the podcast, please leave a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts. I am on all the platforms. If you have a suggestion for the next podcast, please give me a follow on Facebook and Instagram and send us a message at Life with Innovation. While you're there, please check out our merchandise store. Also, join our exclusive fan page on Facebook where we get into awesome discussions about the future and how to prepare for it. Without further delay, let's get into today's show. It's one small step for a man, a giant leap for mankind. These were the famous words spoken by Neil Armstrong when he stepped on the moon for the first time. It was also one of the biggest events in human history. If the technological boom to catch up to the Russians didn't surprise you, I don't know what will. This event was amazing, to say the least. But what if I told you that NASA and Neil Armstrong and overall the crew had been communicating about some irregularities for up to 2 hours before Apollo 11 first reached the moon? You see, what wasn't in the tabloids was this phenomenon that had been recorded for some time now and throughout human history. It's called lunar transit phenomena. Both NASA and the crew of Apollo 11 reported seeing a green fluorescent light flicker off of the moon. No, this isn't a conspiracy. NASA has this information directly on their website as well. You can go ahead and check that out, with other scientific researchers also writing papers on this phenomena. In fact, this phenomena has been reoccurring since as early as 554 AD, and almost 1,500 documented sightings since the late 70s. Even amateur astronomers today have caught these on the moon every now and again. Most sightings are, however, asteroid impacts that just flicker light, white light generally. But others, well, this is really where it gets interesting. Because what Neil Armstrong saw outside of the window for about 2 minutes was a greenish fluorescent light. This had obviously stirred up a lot of debate in the scientific community, mostly attributing this to gases being released from the moon itself, from the surface of the moon, or the remnants of a material from an asteroid impact flickering in the light. And there wasn't just one color. There was pink and yellow and red and white. And I mean these at a different time. What Neil saw was green, and that's the only thing that he did see at the time. And at the time, the astronauts were not going near that area. So it was going to be left for another day, for another mission. And it was suggested that they knew they wanted to explore this, but wanted to wait until the technology was advanced enough to get us back there. As we all know, space travel is extremely expensive. Research and development is even more of a debacle, because sometimes the minimal viable product doesn't come out until millions of dollars are spent. That's a big reason why during the Obama administration, they felt it was necessary to retire the astronaut program and allow for private entities such as SpaceX and Blue Origin to continue their efforts and gain government contracts. With the technology almost being there now, NASA and SpaceX are beginning to team up to have moon missions. It makes sense that they're going back to explore the moon overall, as well as, you know, things that are put on the back burner, such as this phenomena, right? It's interesting because this is one part of the story. Because if they're going to go back to explore all of this, this kind of debunks the idea that the moon is just a big rock in space. I mean, there's more there. This brings us to the current administration and their efforts in creating Space Force. That sounds so badass, Space Force. To set up a moon base and yes, attempt to be the first. Because while the mainstream media has not reported on this, at least not too much, Russia and China are both in on this effort as well. And it's interesting because at one point, Russia and the United States were going to do this jointly. They're going to go to the moon together. But now we're all doing this independently. So that brings us like a bigger question. Do these governments know more than what we are seeing, right? I mean, maybe. I mean, of course, come on. Of course they do. What we can do from here, though, is connect those dots. So let's push away this idea about aliens for a second, because yes, if there are aliens on the moon, it's probably a moon base. That's all it could be. Don't make me dig into it any deeper than that. But we're going back to set up a moon base. Now, this moon base could also just be for, like, more space exploration. I don't doubt that, because the moon has no atmosphere, so jetting off from the moon would be so much easier than constantly doing it from Earth and ripping away from the atmosphere and gravity. Just as Elon suggests with his efforts in this moon topic. And maybe Russia and China also understand that too. But if we're going to also go to explore the moon and learn more about it, this gigantic rock in the sky, and specifically we also want to look into this phenomena, what could they be really exploring, you know? The moon would only offer these small things to explore, right? So what are these things, you know? Well, my friends, they represent resources. And it's no secret that we have been open about mining asteroids for resources, and the moon is a great catcher of all of these asteroids, which means a lot of resources. And speaking of asteroids, China just landed one of their satellites on an asteroid. So if you haven't checked it out, it's so epic. You guys have to take a look at that video. Oh my God, you'll be blown away. But back to the moon. Are these asteroids the only thing possible to gather and study? Well, maybe not, because... Now, hold on to your guys' seats for this one, because this one kind of blew my mind, and I'm still skeptical of it, but, I mean, it's possible. So, there are apparently volcanoes on the moon. Now, hold on. I know how crazy that sounds. But very credible astronomers have been documenting volcanoes on the moon since back in, like, as early as 1790. So let's play that back again. Volcanoes on the moon. That could be a result of the red flickering lights that people have claimed to see. We have to remember that volcanoes aren't very active. I mean, not even on Earth, as at least not as much as we, you know, would assume if we're looking at the moon all the time, right? And this obviously leaves a lot of room for skepticism. However, there have been other reports from Russian astronomers back in the late 1950s that have apparently also witnessed volcanic eruptions. So, okay, it makes sense that we haven't seen anything since. I mean, like I said, they don't happen very often. Coupled with the moon being smaller and relatively inactive, we also have yet to really confirm the interior of the moon. So we don't even know if it's that seismically active. Because when astronauts were last on the moon, they did dig into the moon's surface, but they only dug around 9 feet. That is not enough for scientists to really determine what's the inside the interior of the moon. Scientists are just assuming that it's dead, because obviously you don't really see much happening there. But it may not just be a cold and dead rock in the sky anymore. So let's recap what we have so far. We have seismic activity, which could open up the topic of volcanoes, and comets constantly falling on the moon since forever. So who knows how many asteroids have collided with the moon and how much resources are there. This is a recipe, a huge recipe for just a gold mine of resources here. And we have been able to confirm some things, right? We've been able to confirm what's there currently. So there is phosphorus, there is titanium, there's copper, aluminum, iron, silicon, and other other resources that or minerals that do exist on the moon's surface. Some of these exist in different forms, so we would have to break them down, hence mining. All right, so now, since we can now confirm that there are viable materials to mine on the moon, let's dive into recent news. The United States, China, and Russia have decided to make moon bases on the moon. And obviously you guys know that already, but one of the breaking news that came early on from the Trump administration is the decision to create Space Force. So let's just go into the goals of Space Force. I feel like they're important. So the goals are to provide freedom of operation for the United States in, from, and to space. Two, provide prompt and sustained operations, space operations. Interesting. The duties being protect the interests of the United States in the space, and deter aggression in, from, and to space, and conduct space operations. These are all indicators of the U.S. being independent of other nations and ensuring it has a set of systemic procedures in the case that something happens in space. This is how government works. A process needs to be in place before anything goes down. But that also means that they do know more than they are leading on. And even for the unanswered questions, they have to come up with a presumed answer for them. That's just how things work. That's how it should work. It really does sound like they're preparing for another space race, does it not? So let's take a look at the current resources that we have here on Earth. Because these movements made by big governments have important reason behind it. So let's play a game of connect the dots, right? So again, normal everyday life doesn't look 20, 50, or 100 years into the future. But the government, when it attempts to make processes and procedures, they have to attempt to look this far. So, most of our precious resources and materials come from China and India, the vast majority of them. And what I mean is like by output. So, China by itself brings in 45% of those precious resources. And some scientists claim that we will run out of these resources. Some as early as 40 years, others saying 80 years, and then we have the very conservative estimates at 800 years. Regardless of the number, it's clear that we will run out, and we will run out fast, especially since technology relies on these materials, and as we advance and as the population increases, we will only see a rise in this type of consumption. So the government needs to prepare for these, or somebody needs to prepare for it, right? And that's where the whole, they need to be looking 20, 50, 100 years into the future. And let's put this all together now, right? There is potentially seismic activity on the moon, which, I mean, they haven't told the public this yet, right? Because they also don't want to say anything, or maybe they're hiding it, but you know, assume positive intention, right? They don't want to assume anything without actually going there. So there's potential for seismic activity. There have been asteroids that have been, and, you know, resources on top of those asteroids that have been crashing in the moon for millions and millions of years. And on top of that, other countries are deciding to make that same move. So What does that all mean? If you put it all together, that just means we have a next generation space race. It does not really matter who gets there first, but they play, or they will play, a really big role in setting the stage first. So it is in every nation's best interest to get there as quick as possible. The moon has a finite amount of materials too, because you have to remember, the moon is not that big. Even though it might have an abundant amount of resources, there's not that much to mine compared to the size of Earth. And let's just say whoever starts to mine first, they will be the superpower in providing Earth with its rarest materials at any price they want it at. I mean, let's see if they do it that way, but that is until nations get in on this monopoly, right? It's essentially a gold mine, though. So I don't really know about you guys, but that's exciting. Another space race, right? And this one's happening behind closed doors, too, because right now there's other stuff going on in the world, right? But these operations still move. And it's absolutely amazing to think that we're going to have another space race, or that we're currently in the midst of another space race. And it, more importantly, in my opinion, it's done by private entities. And I'm not going to exaggerate when I say this. This is just a little side note. But this is truly the American dream. You know, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, they utilized their earnings to invest and risk everything to privately get humans back into space. And eventually on the moon and Mars. And as Jeff Bezos eventually wants, to create floating space cities. Let me tell you why this is exciting, though. We have, by NASA, have been trying to get back to the moon since 2007. Congress has constantly shrinked the budget and then gave a little bit more here and there. And even today, NASA just requested $5 billion and Congress only allowed $1 billion. And that's crazy. You know, when government is too involved, it does complicate things, because there's a finite things, and you're messing with multiple things. You're not messing with just space operations. You're like, all that money has to go other places, you know, and there's other things that are happening in the world. So it makes sense. I'm not knocking it, but there's a reason why a lot of priority is put other places in spaces. Like, you know what? We have private entities doing that. You don't need that much money. You know what I mean? At least I could see very high level. That's probably how they see it, but it does get complicated, though. And that's why the innovators like SpaceX, Blue Origin, ULA, Rocket Lab, and all of these many other ones are paving the way for humanity. It's a new mission for entrepreneurs. And this is what innovation is without limits. This is what it looks like. This is amazement to me personally. This is like, it this should inspire you, in my opinion. It truly inspires me, because, I mean, growing up, you would always think, oh, I want to be an astronaut, or I want to work on rockets. And at the time when I was younger, the only ones that were really available that were doing that was only NASA, a government entity. But now you have these entrepreneurs that are like, you know, I'm going to invest, I'm going to risk it all of my earnings, everything. I mean, at one point, Elon, when he sold some of his companies, like, shoot, he literally risked a lot. He put a lot on the line for SpaceX. That's all I have to say about that. But like I said, this is what innovation without limits looks like. So what does this look like for the near future? Well, aside from just, you know, mining the moon for precious resources and whatnot, because that already sounds pretty cool, but it does open the door for a lot of things. Space tours is already going to be a very booming industry. And unless these other companies can get their tech involved, it looks like SpaceX will be the monopoly for that. No, Virgin Galactic is also working on that. They're more low Earth orbit style of space tours, which is still exciting. But there's going to be moon tours. There's going to be, shoot, if rockets are really going to be that amazing in the near future. I know that BFR, or Starship now, is going to take on the commercial airline industry. Just a lot of things are going to boom from this, and it truly is going to be amazing. But what else does it mean? It also means that we will be interplanetary and paving the way to becoming Type 1 civilization. I'll leave it at that. Type 1 civilization, I'll leave it at that. In another podcast, I will dive into that. But how much easier is it also going to be for us to get to Mars from the moon, right? I mean, there's even been some talk on putting a civilization on the moon. I don't think that they can really, you know, live there long term, maybe in the next 100 years, maybe. Apparently China right now is already on the dark side of the moon, and they have been attempting to grow plants. So I can see these moon bases happening really, really soon, and it really is going to allow a lot of people to become astronauts, because they're going to need a lot more than just 4 to 6 people being sent up into space at a time. They're going to need all hands on deck. Well, in any case, I hope you all enjoyed today's podcast. I really do get excited for all things space related. I hope to see the day we send manned missions to the moon. And if their estimates are correct, by 2045, we'll also see people on Mars. So I'm looking forward to that. Thank you all for listening in. I appreciate your support. Please don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and leave a 5-star review. I post every Wednesday. I hope you feel that much more excited for the future. I'll see you all in the next episode. And remember, life is always better with innovation.